For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. Today, I have Christopher Minori with me. I also have Don Tucker back with me again. We're going to be doing our Daredevil Born Again Episode 3 review of The Hollow of His Hand. This is the third episode of the Daredevil Born Again series, and I cannot wait to dive into this with them. I've been geeking out about it all day, and I couldn't wait to actually get on the air to talk to the two of them about this, and also to you guys. So, let's go ahead, let's do it. And hey guys, welcome to the show.
How we doing? How we
doing? Doing good.
Apparently my dog is not.
It's okay. It's good to have your dog on the show. So what did you think of Daredevil Born Again?
I don't think she liked it.
Oh, that sucks.
Apparently not. She loved the new Scooby-Doo though.
Yeah, and this is also probably why she probably might have also liked Lassie back in the day, but still.
It's so funny.
But anyways, I do have one little announcement that I have to do real quick. We are actually sponsored by the WWE store. So go ahead and get some merch from the WWE store today. Use the promo code of WWE29. And, so are you tired of fighting crime or binge watching Daredevil Born Again? An uncomfortable gear? Does your kingpin size appetite for wrestling merch need satisfying? Well, step into the ring or courtroom in style with the WWE Sports Store and Daredevil approved merch. Blind Justice red t-shirt, just like Matt these days. Shirts never back down and neither does his eyesight. Hard hitting, like the Hell's Kitchen gloves, perfect for shadow boxing or slapping sense into your friends when you say Batman should win. And then of course you got your foggy style shades, which does not exist because I'm making this shit up. So you too can look like you kind of know what you're doing. Kingpin weightlifting belt, because even Vince D'Onofrio size power needs support. And of course an add-in bonus. Buy a WWE title belt today and get a free I Fought the Punisher and Lost hoodie. And if you smell what the WWE store is cooking, that's right. You can also, like I said, go on ahead, use the promo code of WWE29 today. So, with that out of the way, let's go on ahead. Let's talk about Daredevil Born Again, Episode 3.
So, is there really a I Fought the Punisher hoodie?
I was going to say, I want the foggy glasses, too. I really want those.
Right? So, really, you disappointed both of us.
I'm really mad.
That shit exists.
I don't think that's legal. I don't think legally you can do that. That's like false advertising.
It's not illegal until you get caught. So,
yeah.
Anyways,
that's a good point. Good point. I don't know what you're talking about. I gotta go do some cocaine. I'll be right back.
Anyways, guys, good to have you guys back on here again. Yes.
So,
great to be here.
So, like I said, I really liked this episode because I've been wanting like a Law and Order type of episode with Daredevil that we never got to see inside the movies, or even with second season of Daredevil because of the fact that they had the Punisher in there. But Foggy was actually at the helm of it, actually doing the court trial cases.
Yeah.
So with this one, we actually get to see Matt being able to represent and I actually liked it. I was geeking out the whole time. I was also all on the edge of my seat. I also liked some of the other stuff that happens within the courtroom as well. Like whenever they're trying to get the witness to come in, and at first I thought it was going to be one of those things again, because we've seen this before, right? With Daredevil, where Karen had a witness, and then what winds up happening is we actually have Bullseye dressed up as Daredevil, and he winds up killing one of the key people inside the newsroom and or the news report. So I was thinking, oh my God, is this going to happen again, but with Matt? And then I'm on the edge of my seat because I'm not expecting them to switch the vans around or anything like that, because we only see this one van happening. But what did you guys think of this episode? And also too, what were some of the key highlights for you guys?
Definitely the courtroom stuff, I would say for sure, the highlight of this episode. I'm sure we'll get to it later, but there's something that happens at the end that's crazy. But, yeah, that was definitely the highlights of the episode, I would say. Because, like you said, it's that sort of Law and Order style, you know, him putting together a case to try to figure this out. It's almost like, the one with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson.
Few good men.
Yeah, it's almost like that, where he has to kind of throw out his case at the end and then restart and push, you know, him to the brink where he admits what happens. It's kind of sort of like that in this, where he has to sort of throw out everything that he was going to do and just go for it at the end and like throw a Hail Mary at the end. So it was really cool to see him do that, like you said. So I would say that was a lot of the highlight for me of the episode too.
Yeah, I love the courtroom. So I like those shows anyway, right? So to have a superhero show, one of my favorite superheroes, and this courtroom drama, was great. And actually you mentioned Few Good Men. It really reminded me of, And Justice for All. If you guys have ever seen that with Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Surprise. It's like the court's crazy in that. That's what the whole thing's about. And so many surprises come up. And so, some of the shocks, you know, after getting that evidence. This is pretty spoiler.
Yeah, it says it's spoiler.
Oh yeah.
This is what I mean. Fucked it up for everybody. But, you know, after getting the White Tiger stuff suppressed and then suddenly pulling that out because it's the only thing he could do, right?
Yeah.
You know what it was? It was just boom, 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 one thing, right? Like they're waiting for that guy to get there. You see all the vehicles chasing that van, so you absolutely think, oh God, here we go again. They're going to kill him, right? Always happens to Matt. They're going to kill him, and then the guy can't show up. And then it turns out, yeah, we pulled a fast one, and the guy actually shows up in court, and you're like, oh, holy shit, okay, they're not going to do that trope. And then all of a sudden he won't talk, right?
Right, yeah. Because I'm like, what could be worse? Okay, your person that you had that could actually represent your other client from beginning bled not guilty comes in, and you're like, okay, this is good for Matt. He's alive. Right. He's breathing. He can't fucking talk because he's afraid of the cops.
No, it was just what a punch, man. It was not as much as the end, which I'm sure we'll get to, but man, that was exciting. Right.
It was.
I could just watch the courtroom thing all like for the whole episode. I would have just been happy.
What about for you, Don?
Sorry, what was that?
I said, what about for you?
He was asking how attractive you think I am.
Yeah, that's
how
right.
What?
What were you going to say?
All my dogs are in the background right now. Sorry.
It's okay. But no, I was just asking you what you thought of everything that Chris had said about the fact that, you know, you had someone that was a key witness that could actually help with the case, and then he wasn't able to talk.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really see what the intimidation was at that moment. I'm assuming they got to him before that at some point, because right before that, they have the conversation with him and Matt, and he seemed like he was ready to talk. And then he gets into the courtroom, and I know there's a lot of cops in there, but I don't know. I didn't really see the intimidation towards him that made him do that, but it was kind of a interesting moment because, like you said, he gets there, you think he's not going to get there, and then they pull the, you know, pull the hat out from under you, and he shows up in court, and then he doesn't talk. It's like, yeah, it's like, well, wait a minute, what the hell was the point of this then? But it works out again. It was done well, so I agree with that.
Yeah, it definitely was. And then Matt makes the my other thing was too that hit me in the feels was when Matt makes the promise to Hector, where he tells him he will be with his family again. That just hits me emotionally, especially whenever he said, well, there's an island that I would love to take my family. I would love to actually be back over there again someday. And then Matt makes that promise. I'm like, oh, God, I hope this works out for him. Because we've always been seeing Matt lose a court case over and over and over again. And finally, he finally wins the court case. But, you know, that was something that just pulled on my heartstrings emotionally because I want the best for this guy. And it's like, you know, you're basically losing right now because the cops are against you. You have the whole entire police department out there looking at the stand while you're on it. And then you also have that other witness, like Chris said, he's not able to talk. He's also not backing up everything he was saying. Also too, you have the other cop, listening to the other cop. It's like, he's not going to be able to testify. The witness isn't going to be able to testify. And of course, you also have that other cop that was very sneaky and conniving that met up with them right after. I'm like, damn, how far away was this guy? Like, he winds up telling Matt everything that he, the made up story that he's told. And all of a sudden now he's on a motorcycle. I'm like, okay, you're not on a crotch rocket. You're just on a regular police bike and you just was just around the corner. But still, it worked for the suspense of it. I really have to say, I really enjoyed the suspense of that part. But, you know, and then I like how Matt winds up calling up the crooked cop. He goes, well, you said that you were down by there by yourself. Yeah, I was by there by ourselves. Okay, so there was nobody else there. No, there was no one else there. Right. Okay, so no one in the subway? No one in the subway. And, you know, then I like how Matt and them are all over there looking in the back and goes, look, it's not going to make him come any faster. He's going to come here. But just not knowing what to expect was my favorite thing.
Yeah, I liked how he was like, you know, just out of the blue, does the name Nicky Torres mean anything? And of course, the cop kind of freezes. And he's like, I may have heard of it. And he's like, well, didn't he work with you on this? And he's an informant and this and this and this. And he's like, yeah, I haven't heard of him, right? Like, so to me, immediately the cop's kind of changing his story. Like, did you hear of him or did he work for you or do you not know who he is, right?
Right.
So I thought it was awesome. And that mask reveal when he pulls that out, man, that was just, that was just good. I screamed at my TV this whole time. I watched this thing this morning and I was like a 12-year-old girl, man. You know, at a Britney Spears concert, I was just, I don't know. Britney Spears, is she even still a thing? I'm really old. I'm sorry. But, it was, I was just screaming at my TV so much. My wife's like, calm down, young woman.
It was good, man.
I was losing it. This show is, you know, for me, I mean, geez, what have we been waiting, right? A couple of years since they announced it was coming, and then all of a sudden it seemed like it was here, and just, to me, it's just episode after episode, it's holding up so far.
Yeah, the first three episodes are solid, and, you know, I know that we talked about the fact that he ends up pulling out the white tiger mask because that's all he has, because Matt's like, okay, we lost the witness that we had, so now I gotta pull out the big guns. And I like how the lawyer's like, what the hell are you doing? He goes, what do you expect? Right. I'm out up against the corner,
right?
And with me being a boxer, I love the
judge calling him out on it, like, dude, you sat in this fucking room,
right,
and berated me for fucking 20 minutes about how blah blah blah. And now you're out here pulling this bullshit. I love that moment too. Judge's like, you ain't doing that bullshit.
But there's also something else I wanted to mention as well, though, too, with that. It's just the fact that, okay, is this still going to pan out for him? Because now his, but I also like how we have this whole entire thing now of everybody knows who White Tiger is.
I think this is the better way to fight this case anyway. With them knowing he's the White Tiger and using that emotional card of like, look, why would he do this when he saved all these cops? He saved all these people. Why would he just randomly go kill this dude out of nowhere? Like, it doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't add up.
Right.
But I also like how they use that.
Anyway, I think he could have made.
But this just goes to show you how Matt is, though, how smart of a lawyer Matt is. He's like, okay, I'm up against the ropes here. I got to figure out something. So I got to, even though I have to expose his image and he's not going to be able to be White Tiger anymore, at least I can get him out and he can be with his family and live a normal life. But I like how it's two vigilantes, even though Hector does not know that Matt's White Tiger. But I like this whole entire thing of that's kind of being contradictory to his own self. But he's also being honest as well as like, look, you may, and he reminds me of Matt in season one, Hector does.
Sure.
Where he's like, well, why do you do the things that you do? Because I just do. It's what I'm called for. It's who I am.
Yeah.
Right.
Right thing to do. Yeah.
And that's all, it's just the right thing to do. And that's the same thing that Matt basically said in season one on why he does things whenever Night Nurse winds up, saving his life in the gut inside the, trash dumpster.
It was shocking though, right? Because Matt, of course, better than anyone knows the importance of the mask, right? I mean, he understands. And so for him to, it's kind of a shocking thing for him to, basically pull that move without, you know, and Hector is like, you know, you should have asked me. You should have told me. And he was right.
Yeah.
You know, he just,
yeah, he was.
Not only did he, even with good intentions, you know, maybe he just opened up, you know,
Hector's wife to be
killed, right? The daughter, you know, all those, and he knows better than any. So it's interesting. I always like what I love about Marvel Comics more so than DC is that everybody in the Marvel Universe, MCU and comic books and everything, they all have flaws, right? They're all at the bottom of it all. Most of them are just human beings, right? Even like Thor, who's a god, is still kind of like a human being as opposed to like Superman, right? Who's the only real deep DC character is Batman, right? Who has tons of flaws, but all these Marvel characters have these flaws. And then, you see them there, right? There's a lot of hubris in what Matt's doing, right? That move that he does is really not cool. You know,
no.
You understand why he's doing it, but still,
yeah,
maybe Hector would have said, no, let me go to jail. I don't want anyone, you know, all the people I took down and all, you know, I don't want them finding out who my wife is. Right.
Yep.
So,
right. Because what if he lost? What if Matt lost the case? It also puts Hector dying in jail because.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
As well. Sure. So there's that whole entire thing of consequences. And that's something that I liked about Marvel stuff is the consequences behind every action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it has a reaction. And that's how I felt with Hector. It's like, and this doesn't pan out good for Matt. This is not going to end well for Hector either because Hector's going to die in prison.
Yeah.
Yep.
As well. My wife says I was so disappointed when he died. I was too.
Yeah.
I was sad when Hector died as well. That was, I was mad. I was like, what the fuck?
I literally had a stroke. I almost couldn't be on the show. I burst a blood vessel when that whole end scene happened. Just crazy. Just shocking.
But Don, I know that we talked about BB, which is, Ben's Yurik's niece, as well, about how Kingpin is going to use her. And it looks like it's going that direction that we were talking about the other night, where where he's going to use BB as a way to basically get rid of the vigilantes or expose the vigilantes.
I think he might expose Matt. I still think he might through her.
I think so too.
I still think he might. But yeah, I figured that once he saw that he was losing that case, I'm surprised he didn't step up on the cop side just to try to get the cops on his, at least some of the cops on his side after the meeting with the commissioner. But him waiting to see the verdict and then doing that was like, whoa, okay. So everything you said in the last two episodes was complete bullshit because you're not getting out of the crime business at
no.
all. Right. You're playing politics the way politicians play politics.
And let's talk about that. Let's talk about Fisk and Vanessa. Let's talk about Vanessa.
What is going on there, man? I'm just like, what happened? They were like so in love and then boom. And I get it. I guess he disappeared, but she loved him so much. He got shot in the friggin' face by Echo, right?
Well,
I
mean, right.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, of course he's going to be gone, right? It's just, I don't know, something about that, the relationship there and the marriage counts, is that little bit probably is working for me the least. And it's not Fisk. I love him. I love D'Onofrio, and he's the best kingpin ever. But, you know, I don't really care for Vanessa. I guess I didn't even really like her that much in the original series. So maybe that's the problem, but it just feels, I don't know.
It feels kind of forced or
weird. Like we need an extra storyline. So let's put this in there.
I think it feels like we need her in the show. So this is something we can do with her kind of thing almost.
I mean, they're going this way. I was going to say, if they're going this way, then I think it needs to end with one of them killing the other. And
that's what I'm thinking. Killing
Vanessa.
I think so. Yeah.
I feel that way as well, to be honest with you. And let me go on ahead and see about what Brandy's saying though, too, in the chat, and then I'll bounce back to my thoughts.
Because there's a moment when they're with
I don't know what you're gonna say.
The Vanessa, Matt's girlfriend or whatever, the therapist, and they're in there and they're having that argument right before she walks in. And there's one line that she says at the very end, and he just looks at her like, oh, I might have to kill you at some point. Like you might have to die. Like he looks at her just for a moment. It's just, you can see it in his eyes. Like, oh, okay. You've gone too far.
He actually said, don't make me not trust you, or don't give me a reason not to trust you. Something like that. I think that's probably the moment you're thinking about. Yeah. I forgot the therapist was Matt's girlfriend. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll wind up being that Fisk winds up doing the therapist.
Dude,
let's see here. This is what Brandy says too. She goes, I still wonder if Foggy faked his own death. I still think that that's part of that one issue comic book that they had about Foggy Nelson that I ended up tweeting out on X or whatever you want to call that site now. But yeah, I ended up talking about that. Fist hasn't changed. Wolf in sheep's clothing. Thin line between love and hate. Now, this is what I was going to say. I think that this is, I know that Kristen doesn't really care for the psychology and
for a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Stuff like that with the relationship between Fisk and Vanessa. But I think it's they're trying to humanize them in a way to where you're involved in their relationship, even though we don't really necessarily care about them in a sense. But it's trying to humanize them and say, hey, look, they are still human beings, even though they're villains and they have their own issues. But at the end of the day, Vanessa's in charge of the crime wave of what's going on in New York. You have Fisk, who's blackmailing police officers into doing what he wants them to do. And, you know, I really do. I think that this is going to come down to like a Joker and Harley Quinn kind of situation where they have to kill each other to find out who's going to be on top.
Yeah, I think as an author, I think what you're saying has some merit. However, I think the character of Fisk, oddly enough, is very human and has a lot of human qualities, and we've saw it in the last series. We're already seeing it in this series, right? Every episode, right. There's some human quality about him. There's always this kind of insecurity thing going on with Fisk.
I agree. Yeah.
Vanessa's a terribly written character, right? She's very one-dimensional. She's not human at all. She comes off cold. She delivers her lines coldly. I'm assuming it's not the actress. I assume it's the...
Here's the thing. I would have said that if I didn't binge all three Daredevil seasons from on Disney Plus before watching this. But you do see a transformation in Vanessa. Because here's the thing. I remember the security footage and stuff like that. And when she says, I need you to be all in, I need to be all in, Fisk, or else you're going to lose me. So Fisk opens up to her. So then you see the coldness of who she is, because at first he was just going to go ahead and let the guy live, but also be punished for something that he didn't do or frame him or something. I'm not going for verbatim, but Vanessa wanted to just cold blooded, just kill the guy and just get it over with. So, right. You know, so you do have a little bit of that whole entire layers to her in season three of Daredevil. Mm-hmm. But if I was to not see that and I just went in with this one, I would say the same thing. But right. I just have to say there are some layers to her that I've seen in season three and in this one too that actually coincides together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I marathon.
She's as interesting ahead, anymore. Buddy. That's the thing for me is I just don't think she's as interesting in this storyline anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's,
it's kind of like the same beats, right? It's like they're playing the greatest hits. We all know that, Fisk is obsessed with her. He's in love with her. He'll do anything for Vanessa. Vanessa is not that into him, which he should read. She's just not that into you. But they're going to divorce, doing the whole entire divorce thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're a gangster who's actually playing politician. You're also a wife who's also playing mob boss to these families. You're both shady as shit.
Shady
and you're, right. Yeah. Right.
So I'll do one last author analogy, right? I do this series of books, and when I write each book, I have to kind of – you have the same characters go from book to book, and you have to kind of figure out a way to kind of give the audience an idea of what these characters have been about, right? So you don't have to every book kind of explain the whole thing all over again. Right. And you've got to do enough of that to bring them forward. And I don't think they've done this. Isn't season four of Daredevil. Right. This is a new series.
Right.
And if you look at every other character in this, they've shown us kind of what had happened or at least who the person was before and how they got to where they are right now. They even do it with Fisk. They don't really do that with Vanessa. And, you know, that, I think that's what Don is saying, right? In this one, and even you're saying in this one, yeah, if I'd only seen this one, but not everybody who is watching this now saw the other stuff, right?
Right.
So you have to, you can't just suddenly put someone in, just have them be flat for this entire season
because
in another series, right? So I really do think, if anything, that's one of the very minor, downfalls of this new one.
I would agree completely.
But yeah, now let's talk about this whole entire deal now where we actually Matt wins the case.
Here and
this is like the what the fuck moment. Because everything is good. Fisk is watching him on TV and you can tell that Fisk is pissed off because Matt won.
Dude.
And he said that he has to make I forgot that exact quote. It's like he has to bring balance and make sure these vigilantes get punished.
Dude, when he starts talking and oh man, I was like, this is not good. Right. I was like, something bad is about to happen. I was like, fuck. Oh man.
And then then you see, White Tiger dressed up. You see him decked out again. He's doing what he normally does. He's running into, the danger.
So real quick, let me ask you, I don't mean to cut you off. I guess I do. But before we get to this bit we're about to get, did anybody else think it was weird that he was dressing up again? Because
right away? Yeah.
Yeah, because
why are you getting dressed up? Everybody knows who you are and all he needs is the amulet. He doesn't need the costume.
So basically, that was the first thing I thought. inflicted his own death because of what he did.
Yeah, I guess that was the first thing I thought was, why is he putting on the costume? It's not like everybody in the world doesn't know who he is now.
Yeah, you would think, yeah, for sure. He would be laying low at least for a little bit, yeah.
Right. Yeah, or just go out in street clothes, right?
Right.
I mean,
we know I'm the white tiger, bitch.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead, keep going. But that was my
No, you're not. Yeah.
Dude,
no,
it makes good sense though. Yeah. It really
when
does.
That scene started. I was just like, that was my first, and then of course everything blew to hell and I forgot about that. But yeah, I just thought it was weird. Like, you don't have to dress up. We know who you are, man.
At first I didn't think it was weird. Now that you mentioned it, it does kind of like, yeah, you're being stupid because even Matt himself and everybody else said, now you set this man up to die.
Right. For sure.
Because everybody knows who he is and he's going to go out and, in his white tiger outfit. Come on, dude. At least spend a couple of months with your wife on that island that you talked about. It kind of reminds me of Carlito's Way, where basically Carlito is looking at the island on this, on the subway station and, he's like, one day I'm gonna go to that island and I'm gonna enjoy sitting on a pina colada. And whenever somebody says that, that's not happening. That shit's not gonna happen. You might as well ex-nay-nay that. Yeah. And so he winds up walking the streets. He gets shot in the head unexpectedly and there's a Punisher logo. So I know you and I were both geeking out over this morning, Chris, because you ended up messaging me, and this is also what made me want to put you on my show, because I don't want to steal my own thunder on my and stuff before I talk about it on my show. So I'm like, I lost my shit, man.
I chased the cat out of the room. That's how much I was screaming.
I love it.
Right, because I'm like, what the fuck? I was not expecting that, and I'm like, that is not Frank. Number one.
And we knew he was coming back, right? I mean, everybody knew Punisher was coming back.
Yeah.
So.
I did not expect that reveal, though, right then.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't think it's Frank.
No, like you said before, and you and I were talking about this earlier today, Chris. We're like, well, you know, Frank is not going to kill someone that is proven innocent.
Right.
Or anything, because he only punishes those who have done horrible things and crimes that they committed. And the only way he would actually do anything if he found something out that he didn't like and felt like he was being corrupt. This does not feel like him. This feels like somebody else that's posing as him. And of course, we already saw everybody
it's
in
foggy.
This.
Right.
What's that?
Foggy.
No, it's not
Foggy.
Foggy
dressed up as the Punisher.
Shut your damn mouth.
Oh, sorry. Let me lower this a little bit. So he got a Punisher tattoo and laid low for a couple of months and decided, you know what?
I tell you what, though, maybe it's that cop. Maybe it's that cop dressed up as the Punisher.
Huh. That's actually a good theory.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting.
It makes sense. I mean,
I don't believe it's Frank, and I think it's going to be what pulls Frank out, right?
Right.
And this is going to what pulls him out of hiding, because I know they say imitation is the part of the greatest thing of flattery. This is not being flattered. You're parading around the skull.
No, you're being framed for murder at that point. Yeah, no.
Right.
So really nobody saw him, I don't think. So, I mean, I don't think it's really that he's getting framed for murder. It's more of just, well, maybe somebody does see him. I don't know how they're going to play that out. Yeah.
Well, you know, interesting. I just started thinking, and you guys remind me, do we know 100% that was Hector in the suit? Did we see his face?
That was another thing.
Before he pulled it down? Cause I just suddenly thought, what if that's not really Hector, right? Because, you know, it is dumb that he would suddenly put the costume on. What if someone decided to cosplay him or decided to do it on his own or something? Sure. I don't remember if we actually saw his face.
That's also what I told my wife too when we were watching it, the premiere of the episode. I'm like, there's no way this is Hector. This has to be someone that's dressed up as Hector. Maybe Matt hired somebody to pose as White Tiger to make it look like, you know, that's Hector when it's not Hector. Or it could be just someone posing as White Tiger on their own and then they get shot.
Man.
And maybe Hector is out on that island, but
yeah. I wonder, you know, there might be more to that because really it just makes no sense that he would actually put that on.
Yeah.
That is, I do feel bad for the actor that played Hector, though, because he ended up dying right after filming all of his scenes.
He was good, too. That guy's good. Cool. I don't know if I've seen him before, but he was really good in this.
I agree.
He was hands down probably one of my the best actors to play in a Marvel Cinematic Universe small role. Chadwick did a damn bang up job on his role as Black Panther. Then you have this guy come in, and I'm like, I'm invested into your acting. I'm invested into your character. I care about your character. I have emotional attachment to you. Only after seeing you for 5-10 minutes. That's a staple in its own self. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they really don't go into the character, which is interesting, right? Like, they don't really develop who White Tiger is. And, you know, White Tiger, I mean, yeah, you're a Marvel fan or Daredevil fan. Of course, you know who it is. But, you know, if you're just somebody who watches the MCU or something, I mean, you know, White Tiger's not the biggest of the well-known of the bad guys, right? So it's interesting that they introduce the character and then really – we see 2 seconds of video of him, right? Of some news footage of him, defending something. That's the only time we see him in costume. We didn't really know who it was. I did, you know, when I saw it, I was like, oh, White Tiger. Holy shit. But, so it's really interesting that they basically brought this superhero into the MCU, but probably, you know, at least half the audience has no clue who this character is and still don't.
Right. Right.
No, it's true.
My friend Alex was commenting on his thing for Haynes for Heroes is the name of his channel, but I was commenting on his stuff. I said, I don't think that's actually him. He goes, nah, bro, it's him. I said, really? We didn't see a face. Oh, so it's playing this mind game with me, this lukewarm attitude, right, which I don't like having because I'm contradicting everything I said, and it's mind-fucking me right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. What this show does is it makes me remember why I wait until the end of a show and then just binge watch it, right? Because this waiting every fucking Tuesday is killing me.
I don't know.
I
like it.
It is killing me. Man, I hate doing it. I never do this. Doctor Who and this is the only stuff I do this with, right? Where I just can't wait for the end of the series. And, of course, it's great, but it's killing me having to wait every week. I feel like I'm 12 again watching – you know, Friday night ABC.
You see, that's what I like. I like having these water cooler conversations versus eating all the food on my buffet line and just overstuffing my face with food and not enjoying it and enjoying the little things with it. With this, I'm enjoying it. I'm digesting it. I'm getting everything I need, and I can talk about it without having to mess anything up with certain scenes. I'm able to talk about it that way, and also have that water cooler conversation with my friends at work, because I like using my imagination whenever I'm talking about certain things and thinking what the next episode's going to be about. So that's why I like these episodes the way they are versus binging.
Well, you know, the problem is, so first of all, I'm very impatient, right? That's the first thing.
No,
the
other thing not
is,
really.
I live in a retirement community where the median age is like 212, right? So nobody else is talking to me about Daredevil, right? Nobody else is watching this thing.
Me.
And they're still getting so dirty, damn it.
But yeah, all in all, great episode.
Yeah, it was good.
Does anybody have any predictions as far as the next episode goes, or are you just gonna go in blind?
I mean, well, I have predictions, but yeah, I mean, I don't really know, obviously, but yeah, I mean, if they reveal that it's not Punisher and that's what brings him out, man, that's gonna be a tirade that he goes on, and that's gonna bring Matt out, which I think Matt's already ready to come back out, but I think that's definitely going to bring Matt out. And then Kingpin, it looks like we're leading up to he's going to have fight Matt again. I mean, I can't see a way around him not being Kingpin again, right? Like, I don't see a way out of it at this point.
No, it's
me either.
He is still Kingpin, right?
Well,
he's still Kingpin. He's just posing
as probably who set this up, right? I mean,
I think he's definitely who sent
that. They're sure trying to make us think that it was Kingpin who set it up, because they go through his speech, and as he's still talking, they're showing the guy putting the mask of White Tiger getting ready and then getting shot. So they at least want us to think it's him behind it. Yeah. I think it's not going to be. It feels too easy. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm going in blind. I'm just excited that so far this series has exceeded my expectations. I didn't think they were going to bring Punisher in this quick, so I'm really excited. I'm sure he's going to be there next week. You know what I did want to say? To anybody who doesn't know it, I actually just finished watching your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. I don't know if anybody else watched that. It's the new Marvel animated series on Disney Plus with Spider-Man. It's kind of in a different alternate universe, but it's so good. Really, really good. You got to watch it.
But I heard it was good.
Daredevil's in it in two different episodes, played by Charlie Cox.
I heard about that. I thought about checking that out.
That's cool. Yeah. It's really good. Doctor Strange is in it. There's so many Easter eggs, man. So many. You got to check it out. It's a great, great series. A lot of people are giving shit to it online, but it's fantastic. It really is.
Okay.
And
I'll check it
out. Charlie Cox fan. Judgment.
Yeah.
I like him as Daredevil. I think he's a really good Daredevil.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He's
really great.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
So one more quick thing I want to bring up. So if anybody has, this is going to be an open discussion for anyone that's watching right now. So if you guys want to comment in the live chat or anything, what was your favorite moments from Daredevil, Born Again from episodes 1 through 3, go ahead and comment or comment later on. I'll be glad to geek out with you and talk about this later on, even on Spotify as well. If you guys listen to the audio only podcast as well, this will be on in a couple of days and I'll be able to geek out with you over there too. But I'm also going to mention that we are once again sponsored by the WWE store. So go on ahead, get yourself some merch from the WWE store. Use code WWE29. The link is in the inside the description below so that way you guys can get yourself some merch and save you guys some money and treat yourself because you guys deserve it. But yeah, that's going to be it. But here's the thing. I will be back again and we're going to do this every Thursday, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, unless something comes up and we might have to schedule it to like 8:30 Central Standard Time or 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. But yeah, that's going to be it. But March 17th, I will have a guitar player from a rock band on, and we're going to be covering Copland. This is my first time watching Copland with Sylvester Stallone, so we're going to do that on March 17th.
Really? You've never seen it?
Central Standard. Nope.
It's a good one. It's really good. Yeah, so many good people in it. Yeah. Really different for Sylvester Stallone, too. He's, you know what? He's one of my heroes. I know people make fun of him and shit, but I love it. That guy is
ballsy. Me too.
I love Stallone. Stallone's awesome, man.
Stallone is really awesome.
Yeah.
But you know what else is awesome? Don, what do you have coming out for your channel?
That was a beautiful segue.
Thank you.
That's way too much credit, honestly. we have the game and Gilded Guys channel, guys. Please check that out. So we will be doing stuff on there very soon. But yeah, check me out there. Jedi Master stuff pretty much on everything. I am not on X, so don't look for me on X because I refused to go to that place.
So, okay.
Sorry.
I have his links in the description as well, so that way you guys can go in and follow him there. This is dying, but he does have a new book already.
I'm kind of like, oh shit, is he okay?
First time I'm not drinking on your show. This is why I drink booze. That's why I drink booze and not Coca-Cola. Jesus Christ, how does anybody choke that swill down? Mm. Anyway, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. You do your stuff.
My plug time? Awesome.
Yeah.
So I sound like shit right now, but, I got my new book. It's coming out, in June. So, Bigger Than Jesus. It's the next adventure in my Banished Demon, novel. And very funny. It should be out in June. Pick it up. It's going to be the last book I'm doing for a while because I think I've mentioned to you before I want to get back into my animation roots.
Okay. Yeah, you did. You mentioned that to me. And I'll also interview you for your book as well. So that's something else we're going to be doing.
That's what I love to hear.
Exactly. So, guys, that's going to be it as far as the show goes. Thank you again for joining me. And I hope everyone has a great and safe night. And please don't die on me so I can have you back on for next Thursday, Chris.
I promise nothing. Good God.
All right.
What an end.
All right, everybody. Have a safe night. Bye-bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.